All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-52 LT Associates? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-52? All right, then. We're going to start. Oh, I'm sorry.
Start with Ms. Vaughn.
Beg your pardon?
I would say if we could start with Ms. Vaughn.
Sure, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank all of you for your patience this evening, by the way. You've been a very well-behaved group so far.
We'll try to maintain that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Santa Claus is listening.
List.
My name is Barbara Vaughn. I'm a member of City Council in Lewis, and I'm representing the mayor and the other members of council this evening. I would also like to recognize... Do I have to talk right into this thing?
You need to stay somewhat close to it.
Okay. And I'd also like to recognize that almost everybody in the audience is from Lewis, and would it be okay if I just asked them to stand up?
If you feel so compelled.
Well, because not everybody's going to get a chance to speak.
Yes, they will if they want to speak.
I know.
That's fine, though. You can.
But you're, okay. Well, you're welcome to do that.
Okay. Would you stand if you're from Lewis? And thank you. Well, you know that this project is not within the city limits of Lewis, but it is going to have a profound effect upon the future of Lewis, and it's the cumulative effect of the projects that have been already built, that are in a process of being built out, and then the future. And we noted in the PLUS review that they recommended that these projects be considered together, because without that impact, without that knowledge of the impact, it's difficult, it seems to me, for an understanding of what that impact is going to be on Lewis. I have a letter that is signed by the mayor, and it's addressed to the county council, and with copies to you, and it outlines our concerns. I do want to hasten to say that Lewis is most appreciative of the donations and the support that the J.G. Townsend Corporation has in the past given to Lewis, and expressed by Mr. Townsend that would continue into the future. And certainly I, as a bicyclist, and it's not three wheels, it's still only two, appreciate the bike path. This has had a absolutely wonderful outcome for people in Lewis and people in Rehoboth. And we have talk about connectivity. We do have connectivity with the city of Rehoboth that we haven't had in the past. So those are pluses, and we are thankful for them. I wanted to just talk a little bit about the TIS study. You know, or you may know, that right now the project called Schofield is of major concern to Lewis, because it involves not only annexation but rezoning, and certainly the review of the site plan. And we await the report from DLDOT, and they have taken the regional view, regional meaning the larger view of Kings Highway as their focus. And we ask that consideration of not only this project, the Senators, but that the Governors and the Townsend Village Center be considered by you in conjunction with the TIS study. And we are going to be very interested to take a look at it as well. We did note in the PLUS review that they recommend that only 20% of the area be impervious surface, and it seems that this one is up into the high 30s. That's something to be considered. When you look at page under the Section 4, if you will turn to the water resources recharge map and look at what is excellent recharge, it includes all of Hawkeye, all of the senators, and the future governors. Across the street from this project is Cadbury, also on the excellent recharge surface. And who knows? I mean, really, who knows what that is going to do? Not in our lifetime, not maybe even our children's lifetime, but into the future about our well protection. So these are major concerns. The letter goes into greater detail about the condition of Kings Highway because it is a main artery for the Cape May Lewis Ferry. It is a main artery for the Cape Henlopen State Park, a great resource, a jewel in the crown of Lewis and the state. And then the normal transportation traffic for the high school, and then people. So these are our concerns, and we appreciate very much your considering them. We'll be here again when you address the governors and the Townsend Center. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Just if I can ask one question, after reading this letter, it's unclear to me if this applies to just this application.
It does not apply just to that application. And the reason for that, the reason for the tone of the letter, and this is just a real plus, no pun intended, a development that is going on as we speak, and that is a greater relationship between the city of Lewis and the county council. In the middle of January, Mr. Lank, Mr. Kautz, Mr. Godwin, probably Mr. Baker, are going to travel to Lewis, and we're going to be looking at this up close and personal so that they have a better understanding of what Lewis is looking at. And, you know, we're not finding fault with the site plan. That is not our concern. Our concern is the impact on Lewis. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, who's next? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Reverend Dorothy Greet, a resident of Lewis. For Mr. Schrader's benefit, I have an advanced degree from Yale University. I am a clergy person who have served churches and communities in Westport, Connecticut, in New York City, and in Lewis, Delaware, where I came as the first director of chaplaincy services. I love Lewis, and I'm deeply concerned, and so I wish to read a letter to you that I have prepared, and I would give it to you for your record.
Very well.
As a concerned citizen of Lewis, I am alarmed at the timing, this holiday timing, and this spot zoning nature of the application being presented this evening. I understand that over the next month,
I'm going to stop you right
there
for a second. You're alarmed over the holiday timing?
Yes, I am.
And that seems to imply that the applicant somehow had something to do with this coming up on this particular day. Is that what you're suggesting?
I can't tell you what has happened.
Okay. They sent this application in 16 months ago. They get in line with everybody else, okay? I'm neither for nor against it at this point. I'm still evaluating it, but frankly, I'm disappointed that you would lead off with something like that. The rules are the same for everybody. They get in line with everybody else and they come on through. We have no control over how many applications we're going to get, and we hear them as fast as we can. And the fact that theirs came up on December 20th is simply the luck of the draw.
And in January also, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
And the two in January?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for clarifying that. I'm still alarmed. I'm alarmed at this spot zoning nature, that is the looking at one parcel and not the whole picture. And I have to tell you about those alarms. That's why I'm here this evening. Over the next month, I understand that Lingo Townsend will be making applications for a huge new development, and I include in that senators, governors, and the village center. This includes a large commercial area and a shopping mall, all at the entrance of historic Lewis. These applications are being presented in the absence of significant information and without the proper preparatory impact studies required by law on traffic, air and water quality, economic impact, and historic preservation. If you'd like me to clarify any of those, by historic preservation, I'm not referring to archaeology. I'm referring to the historic character of Lewis and its roads and its small community housing. Among the numerous reasons for blocking these applications is the fact that Freeman Highway, King's Highway, is the only evacuation route from Lewis and the surrounding recreational areas that is above the historic flood levels during severe storms. Failure to study and present data and analysis regarding the use of this highway during storm surges and predicted sea level rise as a result of climate change as part of the application process is, in my estimation, unlawful, unethical, and unacceptable. I hope you will address these concerns without delay, and I hope you will address it as an entire commission and with your applicants. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up.
You can give that to our council down there.
Yeah. Thank
you.
It's in the record.
My name is Dan Fendler. I live at 16934 Ketch Court in Lewis. That's the Wolf Run subdivision. I'm not in opposition, per se, of the subdevelopment. It's a safety concern relative to Gills Neck Road. Traveling that road every single day, particularly since the bike path, and I love the bike path. It's great that it's there. But it has created a real a safety problem relative to the number of cars that we're going to expect to see with another subdivision on here without making modifications to Gills Neck Road. If you've been down Gills Neck Road, you know that it's very circuitous. There's a couple of very bad turns. And there are times during the summer, at least since the bike path is open, where you can see dozens of people on the roadway, not on a path. There's a path where they built Hawk's Eye. And not all the people use the path, but it's a whole other story. But there are dozens of bikes on Gills Neck Road in addition to the cars. And I don't know if there's any plans. I guess one of the things I wanted to find out if there's any plans to straighten out Gills Neck Road and widen it and do something with a path or put shoulders on it that's going to make it possible for people to travel from all these new subdivisions down to Lewis, because they typically don't go towards the high school. They go down towards the drawbridge in Lewis. So that's my concern is with safety. I see this not only, it's not only in the summer. I passed a bicyclist today on my way to work on the road as opposed to where there is an existing bike path. So, there's a couple of issues things that I am concerned with relative to safety on Gills Neck Road with an additional development being there. That's it.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Schrader, I think the gentleman raises a point that does perhaps could be addressed. I'd be interested to know what comments your team might have to make about what's going to be taking place on Gills Neck Road.
Well, Mr. Ford addressed that. I think also we'll draw your attention to tab 6 in the book, which does show a schematic of proposed improvement to Gills Neck Road.
The gentleman doesn't have a book. Would you tell me which page is? He can have a page out of mine if you want. I'll just being shown.
I'll walk back here while Mr. Ford talks. I'll have.
Well, the first page is difficult, and
to see fully unless you're used to looking at plans, because we've abbreviated it to all fit on the plan. But Gills Neck Road will get additional right-of-way to accommodate a boulevard, protected lefts, decel lanes, landscaping on the shoulders of the road to separate it from the bike multi-use path, we call it, but it's to be used for the bikers. Today, Gills Neck Road has a 20-foot travel way for cars going in each direction. Fairly narrow. It will be widened to 22-foot travel way, but then there'll be 5-foot shoulders on each side as well, then a landscape area, then a multi-use path. Part of the shoulder, realistically, most bikers don't go up on the 10-foot multi-use path. They like staying on the roadway. Well, they're going to have to, we're not signing that shoulder as a bikeway. The bikeway is supposed to be on the multi-use path, so that is a management issue, but realistically, people will ride on that shoulder, but at least it'll be there, which is not there today.
Can I clarify or ask for clarification on one point?
Yes.
Is your role in that merely the dedication of the right-of-way sufficient for that to happen, or are you going to contribute, and when will that those improvements be made that you just described?
Well, I can answer a portion of that, but go ahead, Paul.
We were hopeful we'd only have to give up the land, but it appears at this stage of the game that we'll be responsible for the whole thing. We have already we stalled for a while trying to work it out differently, but we brought GMB back in, I guess, a month and a half ago and signed a new contract to engineer it now. Tom laid it out a dozen times, to be honest with you, and we changed things and we moved entrances around and we made the section down by King's Highway so large for the entrance into the commercial area, because we were not permitted at that point to come in off King's Highway. That's changed up a little bit, but that's why it was so wide down there. But it would appear now that we'll be doing that. We're arguing a little bit over the spec. They want about a 22-inch thick road. We don't quite think that's necessary.
As the lots are developed, the road, Gills Neck Road, will also be improved. We don't have to wait for a Deldot.
I would generally say that once the plan is squared away and the partners get together and figure out how to pay for it, we'll do it. I don't know that it won't be concurrent with this subdivision going in. It probably will be.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, this lady right here. Excuse me for pointing. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that would be you. You're right. Come, step right up. And then the lady in the purple will be next.
My name is Maria Simoes, and I've been a resident of Lewis for 10 years. And I've had quite a bit of experience in planning, not only in Lewis, but elsewhere. Much of what we're dealing with, and this is a comment, and then I do have some questions. Much of what we're dealing with here has a great deal to do with goodwill, believe it or not. As developers, if they really want the goodwill of a community, they really are going to have an impact on, they should meet with the members of that community. And it could be at an association meeting or something. I found out about all of these three projects through the Cape Gazette. And that isn't the way we should find out about things. They do not need the approval of the community or the city of Lewis. They need your approval in order to proceed. But as I said, the goodwill of the community always is a positive factor in the success of any development. As I look at this particular development, I agree with Dorothy Greet in that I am concerned about evacuation. I'm concerned about evacuation from where I live, but I look at this community and I really worry about them. I can see that they may be able to run across the street to an evacuation center, which would be the high school, but I'm just thinking about the roads going in and out. most of our communities here in Sussex County, as they come along for development, I've noticed more and more that the developer only has to be concerned with how the traffic moves within the community and how it moves in and out of the community. And as it moves in and out, all they have to do is worry about the merging lanes. Can you get in? Is there a merging lane in? Merging lane out? You know, that's it. But then again, when you have to move all these residents, which you're talking about over 200 homes with a minimum of two people in each home, how are they going to get out of there? How are they going to get out of Governors? How are they going to get out of Cadbury? How are they going to get out of Hawk's Eye? How are they going to get out of the other developments that are along Gills Neck Road? Are they all going out to Gills Neck? Evacuation is one of my questions. Ask yourselves before you make any decision on this, how you are protecting the health, the safety, the welfare of the future residents of these developments. I guess the other question was, this is a more fun kind of thing, the amenities. I'm thinking to myself, I live in Lewis, and are all of these people going to be at the beach? Are all of these people going to be using our tennis courts? Are all of these people going, what pools do they have? Are they making arrangements for these individuals, their association, to have a community pool, to have tennis courts, so that they have a form of recreation? I think it's very commendable that they have bike trails and walking trails and all of that. But the point is, they also need a place for children. And what is provided here for the young children? What is provided for adults who might like to play tennis one afternoon? Are they going over to the high school to use their courts? Are they coming into Lewis, the town, to use a couple of tennis courts we have there? I don't know. Are they going to belong to private clubs? I have no idea.
I'll try to find out for you, though.
Another question. I am very much into comprehensive planning. And our comprehensive plan, as the counties and all these comprehensive plans, are asking us to consider affordable housing in an area where land is not affordable, let's face it. However, developers have a way. It is possible to provide affordable housing in almost any development, and it doesn't have to be on the exterior appearance of any particular home. All you have to do is get rid of those granite countertops, maybe the hardwood flooring, and maybe some of the other little things that we put in our luxury homes, and make them affordable to a person like me, who spent her career as a teacher, without any particular inheritance from anyone. Could I afford to buy one of these homes? I noticed that the price of these homes was not mentioned. How much are they going to be? Are they going to allow a certain percentage of over 200 homes, even if it's a small percentage, to be affordable or not? We look at our comprehensive plans, which are, let's say, idealistic, but we should attempt to at least meet some of our idealistic wishes in some degree, I would think. So that's another thought to just toss at you to consider as you're looking over all of this planning. I must admit that I think their plan is quite admirable. They've touched about every point you can imagine. Very, very, I shouldn't use this word. Very slick. Anyway, I'll just let it go at that. I should know better. With my background, I should know better than to use that word, but I can't think of another one right now. I thank you very much for your attention. Pardon?
Try polished, maybe not.
It's not polished. I know. If I had a little more time, I'd come up with a nicer one. But anyway, I thank you for your attention, and I certainly thank you for your consideration of the community's concerns and also the developer. I mean, you have to consider everybody. And sometimes, you know, the law ties our hands. We might like to do, and I understand that completely from your part, that, you know, you look at something and you might say, gee, you know, that could be used for this, and it would be so perfect. However, you know, the law doesn't permit you. That you have to abide by the code, by the law, and do what is allowed.
Okay.
But you also have to protect. You have to protect the environment. You have to protect the communities. You have to protect the people who are going to be buying these homes. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you. Ma'am, were you really interested in getting an answer to your amenity question, because I'll ask them if you want.
Yes,
Mr. Schrader or Mr. Townsend or Mr. Ford.
There is a bathhouse pool and what have you planned for this particular project, so that it will be available to the owners. As far as the beach goes, I guess the only comment I can make in that regard is that many of the people who come to this area come specifically for the beach, and there's little or if anything that we can do to keep people from going to the beach. That's what makes this area attractive, along with some of the other amenities. As far as the high school or tennis courts are concerned, the people who will live in this particular project will be taxpayers like everybody else, and they can use the tennis courts at the high school if they choose to do so. I don't know how many are over there that are left from the new construction, but and I don't know how many more they have planned.
All right, then. Paul? Mr. Townsend, did you have a comment?
Yes, we did two tennis courts in Wolf Run, and we did a swimming pool. And about 10 years later, that subdivision was done in 87, they overgrew. Nobody was using them, and they wanted to rip them out.
Yeah.
So I put two more in Wolf Point, and we lit them, and we have a little coin box for the lights and everything. And we get a little bit of play. But we decided to take our road system and extend one side out and put in the bike paths, as opposed to spending $44,000 on a tennis court. That's what we did.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Who's next? Lady in the, I said purple. I guess it's sort of purple, but whatever.
Cranberry.
Whatever. It's late. That's right.
And I probably look about as tired as some of you.
Yes,
my name is Patricia Kirby Gibbler. I'm a Lewis resident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, in terms of professional background, I come from Columbia, Maryland, and I was village manager for 7 years. Of a planned community and facilitated a number of meetings such as this. And I'm quite aware that the people who show up are the people who don't want the traffic lights and who don't want whatever is being proposed. But I would like to offer from my experience in a planned town and in that state, that other state, that you referred to earlier.
Rest assured, I actually was born in Maryland. So.
Anyway, I wanted to say that I think...
I got here just as fast as I could.
Good. One of the things that's disappointed me, and I've mentioned this in Lewis, is the lack... It seems to me, and I'm a busy person, I live here year-round, I read the paper, you don't know it, but I go to a lot of meetings... I go to the little boards to find out what the agendas are. I call people. It seems to me, though, that there is a responsibility on the part of the municipalities to inform and let people know when public hearings are going to be held. And I would ask, as you referred to, is it mandatory for this developer to put any kind of notice up large enough to be seen from either Gilsneck Road or Kings Highway to let people know that a development is proposed, what the development dimensions are, and when the public hearings will be held?
Council, you want to answer that question?
And Mr. Abbott can help me on this one as well. The notices are published in the newspaper. There's the property where the application concern is also posted with a sign. And then notices are sent out, and there's actually a picture of the sign we have in the file. Notices are sent out to property owners within 200 feet as well. It's advertised and published, and then it's posted on the county's website, and it's posted here in the county building as well. So,
how big is the sign, and where is it located right now?
The sign was posted on November 26th. They're on a wooden lath. They're made out of cardboard. Our inspector took a picture of it, and they signed an affidavit that they posted the sign on the site.
How big is it?
Probably 1.5 by 3 feet. And that's
well. My point is that I think that's a little bit small to be seen from a car. So thank you for answering that, though. But in my humble opinion, I think it should be bigger. The second point I wanted to make, in addition to agreeing with pretty much everybody else that's spoken, is not just bicycles but pedestrians, and I'm not able to get here for some of these other meetings in January, and I know it's not the time to talk about Kings Highway, but I'm really worried about kids, that whole Kings Highway stream of cars. You can take care of the cars, you can figure out where the cars are going to go and how many cars there are going to be, but we really have to worry about how people are going to walk across that area in addition to the bicycles and the cars. And I would hope that in this grand scheme, and again, comprehensively, you would look at pedestrian walkways, if there is a traffic light, that it have, you know, one of the buttons to allow people to cross the highway, and to deal with the situation in a proactive way at this point, rather than having to deal with it reactively, as the state is going to have to do on Route 1. Last thing, again, I think this is great that I read in the Cape Gazette that you guys have access now to the software that allows you to see how Sussex County will be built out, if all of it is built out. Did you all see that? And I assume you're going to take advantage of that, and maybe there'll be a way that the community can see that also.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I have a copy of the comments that I prepared, and I'm going to try to just give you a very brief synopsis. So could I pass those around? My name is Dave Ennis. I'm a relatively new resident to Sussex County, that about 2.5 years. But I've been coming to Lewis for almost 60 years, so I've watched some changes. I have attached to my cover letter, which I said I'm not going to read, an item that we received from the State Planning Office just a few weeks ago when we were asked about Schofield and related projects. And this is a composite document that talks about the number of plus reviews that are in the pipeline within a 2-mile radius of the town of Lewis. If my math is correct, and I'm not sure that it is, the residential units that are going to be added by these plus reviews are 3,302 residential units, which would likely contain more than one person in most instances. So we're probably talking about a population of about 6,000 people or more. Now, the town of Lewis today, if I'm not mistaken, has just about reached 3,000 as residents. And this does not include a lot of other things, such as the vineyards, or out on New Road, there's also some consideration for a project on the old University of Delaware site. And there are many other condos up and down Route 1 between 24 and Five Points, where I believe most of those people would see themselves as going to Lewis, to the beach, and would not think of driving into Rehoboth to the beach. So I'm deeply concerned, as has been previously mentioned, about the congestion. We had a task force or a community group that has formed recently called Managing Growth in Lewis, and I'm a part of that group. And we had a conference a few weeks ago in conjunction with DelDOT, the State Planning Office, the University of Delaware, and the town of Lewis. Out of that conference, which was 2 days, and we had a number of county officials and state officials who attended, we were very grateful for that. There were at least two good ideas which we thought needed to be implemented, and we're working on that right now. I'm formerly from Newcastle County, and I had the opportunity to participate in an organization called the Blue Ball Working Group. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Route 202 and the Rock Manor Golf Course area and Blue Ball, but there was a huge construction project that grew out of about 5 years or 7 years of planning. And that construction project involved all the citizens, all the businesses, all the governments, and some miscellaneous groups, including things like AstraZeneca, who decided to put their world headquarters. What we have actually come out of this workshop with was the proposal that we have such a working group, and in discussing this with the city officials, they are very interested in having a more comprehensive working group. And we've met with DelDOT, and they've agreed to be the core group for such a working effort within that area. I know that you have already signed a memorandum of agreement with DelDOT on some of the improvements for the east-west corridor and some of the improvements around Five Points, and we appreciate that. But there are other things that are not on the drawing board yet that we think are very, very important. And then finally, one of the other ideas that came up was a proposal for a historic and scenic highway designation, and there are three roads that have been named for those possibilities. One is New Road, one is Pilottown Road, and one is Gills Neck Road. And we don't have a clue right now whether they would all qualify, but we are deeply concerned that the speed, which appears by the published dates, that the deadlines that you're proposing with January would preclude any discussions of that for Gills Neck Road. And we just invite you to give some thought to slowing down the process, as was recommended by the mayor and Barbara Vaughan, that a comprehensive review of this project would be very important. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you,
I'm sure it's time to go home. Thank
well,
you.
Well, not quite yet. We have a little bit more business to take care of. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My name is John Mateko, 304 Pilottown Road in Lewis. And I have extraordinary concerns, not about only about Lewis, but how our whole process is going to fare from this. I don't think you've ever confronted a challenge like this, have you? Where a town is in effect, functionally, going to triple in size in a couple of years. And that town is the birthplace of the state of Delaware. That town, and I pass it every day, it's next to my house, has the plaque where the seat of government was first formed on 2nd Street. So it's the survival of the oldest town in Delaware. That's what we're confronting tonight. And in a minute, I'll try to present the evidence and see if you leave here convinced that this truly is the most daunting challenge you have ever faced. Can the oldest, smallest, most historic town be tripled in size functionally? Because that's what you've heard, even from the applicants, how all these are connected. They own some of the much of that land, Hawk's Eye, Blackwater. They don't own that. Others own Nassau Vineyards and so forth. Mr. Townsend took me on a tour a few years ago when this first was raised up and included a tour of all the land he owns, his organization owns, on New Road, which daunts all of this. Could I ask Mr. Ford? Would
ask me, and I'll decide if we ask Mr. Ford.
All right. Can we have the graphic showing the overall area?
Coming up. Mr. Ford?
Thank you.
The graphic showing the overall area.
I appreciate your intervention.
Absolutely.
Where would you like it?
So far, you appreciate it. You might not appreciate it later, but go ahead.
If you would put it there, thank you.
Okay.
First of all, can we just quickly dispose of a few minor things? And is it okay if I move over here for a minute? Will it pick up?
What I can't see what that is. I'm wondering. Sometimes it picks up better over there, but that's fine.
This is really a quite good, in my estimation, land use plan, but there's a couple of things that could even make it better, and they're very simple, and they can be done, but they don't go to the heart of the issue. But so let's take care of them so that the record doesn't show that they're not even discussed. The alignment of, there is connectivity, some, but not as much as there really could be. And in fact, in some cases, you wonder if something wasn't really thought through here in the beginning and then for some reason. So you could have more connectivity, and the more is the better. And why is that? Because that is what is anti-sprawl. Because when you have that connectivity, there's actually a formula for this. Mr. Innes referred to a conference, and one of the speakers there. There's actually a formula for this. The better the community, the really the meat, the identity of that is the better the connectivity. So if you can, since the land over here is really not developed, there may be a way of increasing maybe here, here, you might get one over here just for more aesthetic reasons as much as anything else. So that's an easy thing. So connectivity could be improved. And that will reduce sprawl. And the sprawl, of course, as we all know, is the definition. The vehicle use should not increase any faster than the population. Right? That's space between those two curves. That's what we mean by sprawl. So the only way to avoid that is someone here who just wants to walk out, it's not as convenient if they can get a little better connectivity. It's a little bit less likely they have to feel they have to use the car. We have all this great pedestrian and bike lanes, but if you can't connect to it in a direct way, you know, it just feels like too far away. The second big thing, though, bigger than that, is that there's no mixed use. So if you need a loaf of bread or a quart of milk or you desperately need another a diaper, a pamper, you got to hop in the car and run out yonder. With this volume of housing units, and especially since it's really connected to here, and here's the problem of separating these, it becomes artificial. It only exists for the purpose of this hearing. And in a few, once you get past all these hearings, it will never exist again, never exist in the real world. But the number of dwelling units between senators alone would, by standard calculations, probably support 2, 3, maybe 4 1,000 to 1,200 foot neighborhood convenience stores. And that could easily be put in there opposite that park. When you put that in, though, with the governors, you could have a couple of neighborhood stores. The problem here in separating it out finally is you're going to have this massive, and it's not on the agenda, but it reflects on the failure of this plan to really be adequate in terms of current thinking. There's no mixed use here, and they have massive mixed commercial, but it's too far away, really, to expect. That's a really long distance. Small amounts of neighborhood stores here are what we all mean in your comprehensive planning, advocating this, I know, mixed use. That's what really is missing here. And it can so easily be added. I mean, it's just getting on the computer tomorrow morning and changing that, and maybe a little bit more connectivity. But it would be to no avail. And let me suggest the reasons why. And at the beginning of this evening, you heard the attorney representing the applicant suggesting that if you listen carefully, all of the concerns that you had received or would receive would be answered. And I would suggest they have not been, except for the fact that the clergy person worked at BB Hospital. We have not heard about the access to BB Hospital, and except in the most brief passing, we have not heard about maintaining mobility for the ferry. And we really have not talked about what is really the killer for this, that all of us in Lewis are really going to lose our town. And let me try to use this graph to make those three points. I'm sorry, you're all aware from visiting Lewis or the Cape or the beach or whatever. We have three roads. It's three fingers. And there doesn't seem to be any way where you're ever going to have more. Sometimes, though, we have less or fewer. Savannah Road is one. New Road is another. And King's Highway. As the representative of the city of Lewis took note, it is only this road which is an all-weather road. If you've ever visited Lewis after a heavy rain when the moon is out, you know enough not to try to go down Savannah Road on the other side of the bridge, right? And the reason is it's underwater. Sometimes just a couple of inches, but sometimes several feet. If you gentlemen would care to visit Cedar Avenue tomorrow, the city of Lewis has seen fit to install what I call a flood story pole, sort of alerting citizens of how high the floods go. On that flood story pole put up by the city on Cedar Avenue, you would see a picture of the 62 flood. And that picture will show Gill's Neck Road underwater. You don't need a historical picture, just a good rain and a full moon to look at New Road. And you know, if you've taken the bridge over that beautiful section, Canary Creek, that there may be blinking signs saying that's out. That floods. New Road floods, Savannah Road floods, Gill's Neck Road floods. They're the pictures. And you gentlemen do your homework so you know that, but everybody knows that who's lived around here, and I know you're very proud of your longevity. These roads are not adequate for evacuation. Sort of like I have an old skylight in my place, and I always tell people it works great. Never rain, never leaks except when it rains. These roads are great except when you have a storm. So we have this road. All right, here's the point. You also know, if you've ever driven here in the summer, anyone drive over this way in July and August, June? So where does the traffic stop backing up? There. It used to a couple of years ago. Now it's beginning to be past that. This hasn't been built out. People are talking. The breakwater hasn't been built out. The infrastructure there, nothing's going to stop it. The people are going to come. Too late now. Hawk's Eye? Too late now. Nassau Vineyards? I don't know. You have to tell me. Too late? What about all this land along New Road? It's not on the drawing board yet, but it's coming. Look, we're not going to be able to escape this. Someone is going to have to take responsibility. Either you're going to kill this town, or someone is going to have to say, it's just too much. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have anything, and it's a taking. You can have good stuff, but you can't have all of this. That's what the mayor of Lewis has said. That's what Barbara Vaughan has said. That's what the entire city council has said. And that's what most citizens in Lewis are saying. This is impossible. You are tripling the size of the oldest town in Lewis, in Delaware. We have little tiny streets. So let's talk about the impact of that. Notice, none of this was mentioned by the applicant. New Road. This is already backing up. So some of you gentlemen must come in from the north. I know, always come in here and take New Road to go into town. And then sometimes I turn in on University, on 4th Street, past Councilwoman Barbara Vaughan's house. 4th Street was built, these old roads, it's like, I don't know, 35, it looks like you'd land a B-52 on it. You know, it's so wide. Now, the city could do some traffic calming on that, major traffic calming. Can I ask, who pays for that? No mention of that. Who pays for that? The off-site problems. New Road traffic would come in, and it would want to turn on 4th Street and come right through the center of the historic village. The problem is you can traffic calm with turning that one street into a one-way, but then it'll go just to Pilottown Road and take the first shortcut in. Traffic is always going to find its way like water. It seeks its own level. It will meander through to get here to these areas. And I believe so will the gentleman from Wolf Run and Wolf Point, because all of this is going to be a mess, including the Five Points entrance to Savannah Road, because the proposal is to get this connected using Clay Road. But even if it doesn't, a lot of people are going to think that Five Points is the way to get here, whether it's improved or not improved. This is a mess. It's not going away. People are going to try to go on, it's not flooded, dry weather, Gill's Neck Road through the town of Lewis. Now, have you ever, on a midsummer day, gone through that stoplight? We're about 30 seconds always away from disaster, because it's one little block. It's very easy to get gridlock. You know, somebody's waiting to make a turn, and they can't because someone else is there. And so they back up, then this blacks up, and this blacks up. That's not going to work. That stoplight and intersection can't work. That's why you need the Del Dot survey. Because who am I to say that? But you can use common sense. See, we don't need the Del Dot survey, right? Because we won't go up in there. You have to wait two or three traffic lights in July and August to get through there. So we don't need the Del Dot survey. But the application technically is not adequate without the Del Dot survey, and the burden of proof always falls on the applicant. So the applicant has not made their case, and consideration of this is untimely. Let me point out one other major, major thing. We've looked at the impact on this historic small streets, and they can't be widened. That's where the houses are. That's the charm. You're going to take down the sign, the site of the first seat of city government, of county government? No, we can't do that. So we're stuck. We have tripling the size of Lewis with traffic flowing through that choke point, because that's the shortcut. I'm glad I don't have to sit up there. Let me show you one other thing. This Savannah Road, there's a big institution on it, right? If any of us had a heart attack, we'd probably be taken there right now. I have a friend there. Hope he's okay. Speeby Hospital, it's the regional medical facility. Is it appropriate for us to be doing anything like this without considering the emergency access to that? Look, this road, King's Highway, already backs up on, is that 3/4 of a mile? Let's just use our common sense. So that one, that's gone on one side of the road. And with this proposal, especially what's coming down the pike and really ought not to be separated out, the Townsend Center, the whole thing is going to be impassable. So there's one of the three. So then we have Savannah Road. Now, this is where we need the traffic study, folks. And this has been in the works for 3.5 years. 3.5 years ago, then Deputy Mayor James Ippolito got the group together. They sat down with DelDOT. Mr. Johnson was there, though, representing DRBA, the ferry. And why was he there? Because at that point, they were speaking out. I don't understand the silence. Those of you who practice law maybe in Georgetown understand why such things can happen. But there's this deafening silence. The state of New Jersey and the state of Delaware, collectively, those citizens have a multi-million dollar investment in, what, in effect, a bridge, the ferry, at the southern tip of our two states. If there is any issue that has ever come before this planning commission that has huge regional implications, this is it. Let's just use our common sense. This is going to clog that
remaining mobility. It just can't take it. When they discharge, a ferry holds 100 cars, and you get a sudden surge. It's a very unusual type of traffic occurrence because they're one right after another. Everyone's late for where they want to get, and they want to get there. It's one right after another. The planning for this started by Deputy Mayor James Ippolito with Ted Bishop to do Mr. Bishop thought it would take $100,000 to do the survey. Mr. Johnson, 3.5 years ago, said DRBA is in for $25,000 because we got to maintain mobility. Senator Simpson came to the meeting and sent a letter of support to DelDOT. Yep, these are my constituents. I'm on board. Representative Joe Booth came to the meeting and sent the letter. Now, what has happened to that? Very peculiar. Where's the study? 3.5 years ago it started. Not just the TIS for triggered this. What is going on here? Well, I don't know. We'll have to figure out. But look, we are going to isolate BB. It's a good thing they have a heliport. The only way patients are going to get in there is with helicopters.
Sir, if I can ask you to put the microphone down now, because it'll...
I'm sorry. So we have an issue with maintaining access to the hospital, the regional hospital, maintaining access for the interstate ferry bridge, which is a multi-$100 million investment. It can't be moved. It's a landmass. That's where it needs to be, from Cape May to Lewis. And it, as you say with the farmers, it was there first. And I would say, as you would say with the farmers, Lewis was there first. Lewis was there before everyone. Lewis was the first town in the first state. This is the birthplace of this town, of this state. You're going to triple the size, and you're going to be responsible for the planning of that. And either you thought about it and said, we'll go ahead with that. Or you say, no, we're going to find the way where everybody can get something out of it. These are good people. Paul Townsend wants to do a good thing. But you're going to save the town, because there's got to be limits. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Well, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition that might say something different from what's already been said? Well, seeing none, are there any questions on the commission?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Go right ahead, Mr. Johnson.
And this is for...
Anywhere until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Go ahead.
Good. Given how these projects are interrelated, is it appropriate or inappropriate to leave the record open for comments from the, or to take into consideration the comments that may come about as a result of the two projects that are scheduled for January 10th?
I'm not sure. They're separate applications, yeah. And I think we all understand the vacuum theory. I mean, this isn't the first time this has been mentioned to our group. I think we're all cognizant of the fact that simply the way the system works is that each project is a separate application. We have to hear it separately. Yet, as a planning body, we are charged to some degree with looking at the overall picture, and I think we certainly have that in mind when we listen to an individual application. I don't think there's a way legally to combine those. I don't think leaving the record open to receive comments on another application is something we can do. But I think it could be that...
We do need the TIS, though, right?
I'd like to hear from Mr. Schrader on that, because there was comments in the record that the TIS is coming and that it incorporates all these projects. I want to hear what if he has any comments or clarifications he wants to give on that, because that's
now, we do have the ability to hold the record open to receive specific items. So go ahead, Mr. Schrader. I'm sorry. It's your turn.
I think we are going to probably end up holding the record open for the acreage.
Yeah.
I think there was a question that was raised.
Okay, and the question again, Mr. Robertson?
I'd like for you to clarify, I guess, your client's position on the TIS. I heard statements that that governs all these projects. I guess there's three pending applications. And I think you heard quite a bit of testimony from folks that would like to be able to see that.
Understanding that in the plus comments, the Department of Transportation did not ask for nor require a traffic impact study, that would continue to be our position on this application. And the reason for saying that to you is this. At the time a traffic impact study is given a scope of work by the Department of Transportation, they not only take into consideration what a potential application may contain, and I'm not going to use this as an example, but let's go out on Route 24 for an example where you have a lot of development between Love Creek and Long Neck as an example. You have, as a when you do the scope for the DelDOT transportation TIS, they will ask that the developer not only consider what their proposed project is, but they will also talk about all of pending projects that are subject to application, plus all committed projects as part of that. And the big question is that if they are not asking for this project to be given a TIS, where are we in terms of trying to find out which of those categories? Are we committed? Are we a part of the potential application? No. You have projects that are already built out there. I can't give you a clean answer, but it concerns me that if they have not asked for nor recommended a TIS.
Didn't Mr. Ford, in response to my question, say he thought that the response or your receipt of that TIS was imminent? I believe that was the word you used.
I think he pointed out imminent in the sense that they told him September of 2007. Which is the imminent,
and that was
like measuring imminent.
We're into an issue here again that with the we're, and I know that it's contrary to what one might think is the right or common sense thing to do, but at the end of the day, if they didn't require the study, they didn't require the study, and. You know, I don't think we can hold a decision up on or hold a record open to receive something that wasn't required by this application. I mean, it's just not.
No, I understand that. That was the purpose of my question, because there were statements made about the TIS on the final decision.
But I think I just want to assure the public, for what it's worth. I've been up here for 12 or 13 years now, and believe it or not, I'm the old man of the group here, at the ripe old age of 51. But most of us Ben's been here for a while, Mike's been here for a while, and we see this. We understand. We see every application that comes through here. We know what's happening. Our job is to take the ordinance that County Council gives us and to measure these applications against that ordinance and to make a decision. In some cases, it's a decision. Other cases, it's a recommendation to County Council. And that's what we do. And we don't do it in a vacuum. However, we are constrained by the law. And, I'll just leave it at that. I'm sorry, it's not question and answer. Okay, anybody else on the commission have anything, any other questions? All right, then. We're going to close the public hearing. I want to thank all of you for being incredibly patient and sitting here for 3 or 4 or 5 hours and listening to all this stuff. You've been extremely well behaved, and I think it's just a good thing that you're here. It's a wonderful thing that you're here. Appreciate you coming out. So. We'll